back, everyone, to our Groundskeeper Chat series. I'm your host, Meg Kruger. I'm the content lead with Pioneer Athletics. Today, I am joined by my co-host, Weston Appelfeller, and Marcus Elswick of the University of Kentucky. And we have an exciting conversation about lots of things that we're going to get into that I don't want to give it all away because I think it's an exciting topic that I'm ready to dive deep into. And I'm your congested host today. I'm battling a cold. So Weston is going to start us off with our question, and hopefully you don't have to hear from me too much. But I'm excited about this topic, so I definitely will interject at some point. But Weston, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Meg. No pressure here for me today. Just, you know, being the voice all the way across here as you battle through your cold. So I appreciate you you being here and battling through the sickness. So anyway, my name is Weston. I am the market technical advisor for Pioneer Athletics, overseeing grassy fertilizer, all that good stuff. Our guest today, though, is the real focus here. He is coming to us from the bluegrass state. This is a person that is an absolutely great advocate for our industry, as he's using his social media platform to show how fun being a groundskeeper can be. I'd like to welcome to the show today the head sports turf manager at the University of Kentucky, Mr. Marcus Elswick. How are you?
Doing good. Just grinding out. So it's fun times. Fun times in the bluegrass. Nice.
Well, thanks for joining us. The way I like to ask the first question is a complete surprise to you, so it's not on the sheet at all. So sorry, we send over a real list of topics that are going to be talked, and we like to surprise you a little bit. I think this is one of the most important questions that we talk about. So if you could tell us what you do outside of work, how you get away from work, what family life looks like, anything exciting that's happening there. So.
It's kind of been a little changed since I've taken over as a head guy here. I used to be big and playing basketball all the time, 5-6 days a week. Obviously, since taking over the head job and trying to rebuild things here at University of Kentucky, we have it's slowed down. I haven't played much. I've played maybe once a month now. But I have a wife. We've been married a little bit over a year. We have a newborn on the way, due in April, so we're very excited about that. A baby girl. Other than that, we're pretty much hang out with friends that I have that are still in town. Most of my friends have moved away from Lexington and done other things. So it's nice, pretty much hang out with the guys and watch football, maybe go eat Mexican, drink a few margaritas and have fun.
That's awesome. Can you give us a little bit of background about how long you've been there at Kentucky and then talk about your current role and what you're doing there?
Yeah, so started off in February of 2012. Marcus Dean hired me then. We went from hired me as a student. My brother used to work here back in 04 to 07, 03 to 07. Worked here as a student just through college. And I think until he decided he didn't want to go to college anymore. But he enjoyed the job. I knew Marcus then. I used to come as a little kid. Used to work softball games with Marcus, softball and soccer games. With Marcus and one of our full-time staff here, Josh Barnes. We call him Yo, but he's about skinny as a rail. But used to work with them back then. So when I came, I kind of knew the faces. Didn't know them too well, but I knew the faces. But then kind of went from there and kind of worked a lot of hours with Marcus doing that, through baseball, softball season, football season, even, soccer through the winter, removing snow. Worked for him, gave a lot of hours into it. I took off a semester before I got hired full time. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I needed to make a decision. Still kind of undecided during that time and made a decision of trying to stay. And then there's some things happened here at UK that people left and an opportunity came open where I could become a full time sports turf manager, assistant sports turf manager, or I think it was sports turf technician then. And then kind of got offered that job, then moved up, was over at soccer softball with Josh. Like I mentioned before, we spent 2 or 3 years together. Then in 2018, I went to 2017. I got moved to baseball for the last year. We had grass here at the Cliff Hagan Stadium, which was like a 50-year-old field, native soil. If you airfied left field or right field, you hit rock, anything below like 6 inches. So it was definitely a fun time for that year. Learned a lot about myself, learned about the grind. Didn't realize that the off season was busier than the actual season itself at that time. And then over that time, still went back to soccer softball after the baseball went to turf. And, you know, Marcus left then. They brought Sam Cahill came in for 3 years, I believe. And then when Sam left, I applied for the job and got offered the job and took it. So, and it's been, I took that job over in April of 2022. So I've been full steam ahead since then. So.
Well, and it's what's really unique about your story is like before, you know, taking the head position, you knew exactly what you were getting into. So, I mean, that only leads to us to believe that you must be crazy because.
Definitely crazy. I can tell you that. I knew what I was getting myself into. And I can be honest with you. When I first started, I was pretty bad. I was a probably awful student. You probably asked Marcus this. I struggled to start like weed eaters, backpack blowers. I didn't know anything about it. But the more, you know, the more I applied myself, the more I wanted to learn. I got interested in it. I thought it was fun. You know, I played sports in high school, played basketball. Played football for a few years and then realized my knees weren't going to hold up. So thought it might be best to quit that. But just being around the sports and being around people and being around UK athletics, I mean, it was fun for me at that point. So I enjoyed that a lot.
And, you know, like I kind of mentioned when we were first talking, like anyone in the industry can read your title and, you know, sympathize or at least understand, you know, what you're up against year in and year out and really have, you know, a knowledge of what you might be dealing with. But the general public, for sure, maybe even your user groups at different points in times, or maybe decision makers, you know, up the ladder may not have an actual understanding of what it is that you have to deal with. Since being in this head role, how do you kind of manage those misconceptions that the general public have? And how do you kind of combat that in order to do your role successfully?
So like Weston said earlier, I post a big social media presence. I run the UK Sports Surf account as well as my own. Sometimes I retweet the same stuff just because I try to get it out that, hey, we work pretty much year round. There's not really an off season in college athletics anymore. You know, football season goes from, I mean, they're here all summer. Your growing season is limited. And us being in Kentucky, it's even more limited. Transition zone, we spray out our rye in May and we're throwing it back in September. So it's, and then you've got about a month of growing weather between camps and stuff to grow in grass. And it makes it a little tight. But just, you know, I post on social media a lot. I try to explain to people what we do. I try to involve my students a lot as much as I can. Let them see that, hey, it's not just me doing this. It's a whole team effort. Right now we have 19 guys on staff. Got a couple people out of golf course practice area and then everyone else, 5 full-time staff, including myself on campus, as well as 12 students right now, 12, 13. So just trying to do that, letting people know what we do throughout campus. You know, we're not just taking care of game days. We're not there just game days. You know, the field where either where the common fan or the common person sees the final product, we're there throughout the year, throughout the time. Because I have friends that still be like, man, you're working a lot right now. I'd be like, yeah, this is our growing season. Like, you know, I'm putting in these 10, 12, 14 hour days to grind out to get to the finish line. And one thing I tried to do when April 2022, I made shirts for the staff and on the back said, like, you know, proper. What was it? Oh, gosh, can't even think of it right now. I can't even think of it right now. We might
want to cut that out. We'll have to like put a picture of the shirt in there later. But it music to my ears what you just said about building a brand on social media, and because that not only is gonna reach, you know, potential people on the crew or students at the university, but hopefully it's reaching that general public as well. So, and it not only is going to help you in your job, but it helps all groundskeepers, which is, yeah, just like what you said, music to my ears. I love to see that kind of effort taking place. But, you know, you're being displayed on one of the bigger stages in, you know, college athletics, like, we got to dive into that. Like, how do you handle that pressure? And again, like I kind of alluded to, you willingly signed up to that pressure. So talk a little bit about the thought process behind taking the job and then, you know, what your expectations were for that kind of pressure and then how you manage it all now that you're in the head position.
Trying to manage the pressure, obviously, you know, and I think the word of the shirt is the proper preparation prevents poor performance. So trying to be prepared and basically trying to work ahead. You know, we're trying to work ahead. I'm trying to get, you know, I'm trying to work almost a month ahead of where we need to be in certain times and, you know, planning out. And that, if that's from budgeting out projects we're going to try to do, or even, you know, budgeting out materials or fertilizers or paint or anything like that, trying to get prepared. So there's not a time where we feel pressure that we're not, that that we aren't prepared for. Even, you know, with material softball, we always keep, you know, four or five extra, like, two or three pallets, sometimes four, and we just have them stockpiled just because we don't want to get in a situation where we don't have what we need. And then being prepared, TV, every game is pretty much on TV in the SEC, no matter what sport it is. So making sure that everything looks as good as it can. I mean, obviously Mother Nature dictates some things, but, you know, there's so many eyes on what you do every day that, especially on those game days, that people, you know, are critiquing or saying, well, why is it doing this or that? So it's kind of just, you know, maintaining, take a deep breath sometimes and focus in on what you can do and what you can't, and then trying to figure out, you know, fix the problems if you can. So
as you moved up through your career, like you gave us, you know, starting Kentucky and moving step by step up through, when did you start to go from just being a guy on the crew to really starting to feel like I'm the one responsible for this? You know, what year in that career was it that you started feeling some of that pressure and having to understand how to deal with it?
I've always felt the pressure in certain areas. And, you know, maybe when I, that one semester I took off before I got hired full time, you know, learning, because I kind of got moved into an assistant role over there at soccer softball, because at that time we had two people. Me and Josh, we kind of tag teamed it, and, you know, knowing that I had to take responsibility for, I think that year Josh made me mow the outfield. Like, that was my responsibility, but, you know, making sure I'm mowing straight lines. And even though it's, looking back, it's such a small thing, but looking at the time, I thought it was the biggest thing in the world. And now, even when I got moved to, you know, I thought I knew a lot after a couple years of that, being at soccer softball, but then moving to baseball that year in 2017, 2018, and that's a whole nother animal and you're trying to deal with. And then, you know, I was always one to stay after and try to learn. We got a guy here, Tommy Davis, who's been here 45 years, knows everything, everything about this university. He's the second longest tenure employee, I think, right now in athletics here. So, but Tom, he's basically just a dictionary, an encyclopedia of everything that goes on here, knows everything. So he takes care of our practice football field, stadium, and indoor. But, you know, just trying to learn from guys. Josh has been here 22 years. You know, Marcus, me and Marcus still talk every day. I got buddies all around the country I talk to. You know, I ask a lot of questions because, hey, I don't know everything. I didn't technically, I didn't go to school for this. So I'm just trying to learn as I go as well. But basically when I knew it was when I went to baseball that year and then kind of start picking up on, hey, this is how things work. And then, you know, getting more because I was in control of it. And then went back to soccer softball, and I think Josh took a lesser role, do some family stuff. And then I kind of took over that facility and went head on. And then when Marcus left in 2018, he left right during football season. So we had a month there of stuff like that was wide open. So when I started going to all the meetings and then going to, you know, and making in charge of the students and all that stuff, I started taking more responsibility from there. So it kind of just took off from there.
And, you know, you talked a little bit about, like, you know, you didn't go to school to learn the technical side of it, but, like, you know, how can our industry support these type of topics, like taking high pressure gigs or, you know, criticism from everyone who has a Twitter who has a TV, like how can our industry really help support sports field managers to deal with high pressure gigs like yours?
I think just to let people know that they are supported. You know, my vendors do a great job of supporting me. Even Pioneer, you know, like I said, I mentioned Marcus a lot, but he helps. He's a vendor through ATS and helps out tremendously for us. You know, just make sure everybody feels supported. Make sure that, you know, let them know that this isn't just a game day job. This is a year round, you know, job. This is not, the grind is the grind, as some people say, but, you know, obviously try to advocate for, you know, your mental health. It's been for the last, I don't know how long it's been, 18 months for me, it's been a grind. I just took my first vacation. I think I was telling y'all before we got on here, but, like 2 weeks ago, last week, besides my wedding and my honeymoon, it was the first time I've taken off and done something during the growing season. So it's been a complete grind, probably not the best role model for that, but just kind of try to support people, try to manage expectations, try to, you know, if it's webinars, if it's something, you know, for your mental health, because it's out there. You know, that's most important than anything else. I can feel when I start getting burned out and start getting frustrated, with just the scenarios that go on day to day here. And, you know, we always try to be prepared, but there's always that one little thing that somebody doesn't think you've done and you haven't done and they don't think you have. And, you know, you have to calm everybody down and start from go back and explain what's going on and why it takes so long and stuff like that. So.
I'm going to go a little off topic from some of the questions we sent you here, and I just spurred the conversation of what you have here. We're talking about your social media and looking at all the fun stuff you guys do, and then you talk about having 19 people on your crew.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that crew and having fun help with just feeling better when you come to work every day? Can you talk about the importance of having a loose like group of people that you're working with day in and day out, being able to have fun and enjoy your job, and what that means to be able to balance, I guess, the overall issues that you could run into every day and things that make you mad or things that could cause problems?
No, for sure. So not to keep going back to April 2022, but when I took over in April 2022, we had 6 people. I had 4 full-time staff, including myself and 2 students. My number one goal was to build the staff back up. I was like, we got to get kids in. I got to get students. You know, obviously we had to refill my position, which is normal, during that time, but you know, we had to go through all that. So I was like, I got to get students back in here. I was like, we got to hire them. We have to have them. It takes a load off my full-time staff, through the daily grind. It allows them to almost relax a little bit. Even though they're still doing a lot, but they're, you know, allows them to take off the common areas and the weed eating and the, you know, when we do blankets, it doesn't require all of them showing up. And then things like that, like we can space it out where everybody gets a little break and we're all allowed to, because we got the other, you know, the other 12 guys, 13 guys taking over that responsibility, but being manpower hours that we have. Making it fun and stuff like that, it's been kind of funny. Like I said, we had 2 students in. One's a kid that was interested in turf. The other one didn't care. He liked being outside. He was an ag major. I think he's ag econ. And he loved that, or ag ed, I think is what it was. But now we have, like I said, we have 12 students. I brought them all in August. I do the first of the year meeting this year. And I had 6 students who were interested in sports turf after that, or doing some kind of turf and golf. And it's something about trying to make it fun. We do a lot of gear here. People say, I already spent my gear budget for 2027 already. But try to make it fun, try to make it personal, make them feel like they are on a team. Even though we're not a team technically, make them feel like they're on a team, that we're one big group, that their successes our successes is their success, that they feel like they're a part of this team. A lot of our students played on sports or played sports in high school. Some in college. So they know, you know, how it feels to be on team. And it makes everybody feel good when they come into work. Like, there's not a day where and not one person's overworked, and we try to balance it out where everybody's getting taken care of and covered through day to day. That way there's no I feel like I'm on an island by myself and we're struggling there.
Well, and just like a perfect idea for how to structure a crew is to have that team camaraderie, because that's what a lot of sports turf professionals will say is like, I was interested in sports, wasn't going to have a career in it. So I wanted, you know, something that kept me in the game. And so to really structure your crew like that is just a brilliant idea. And really, I, you know, as simple as like swag is and gear like that, it really is what takes you to the, like, takes it up a notch when it's like, oh, we all look awesome rolling up together, or, you know, it gives you that sense of like belonging for sure. So it may seem like a simple thing to somebody, but I love that you mentioned that, because it is an easy way to kind of take things to the next level.
For sure. And it's, and like I said, it's something that, just kind of give everybody a kind of a personal sense of belonging. Like I said, I made that shirt first and we've, you know, expanded to other things. And I try to give them stuff throughout the year to make them feel like it's not just, you know, they don't get it all at one lump sum. So they kind of get it scattered throughout the year. So it kind of carries over. And, you know, I've been very fortunate with the students we've had. We've had a lot of good ones, especially since that we started. I started off with pretty much 10 new guys, 9 new guys when we first started. And I mean, a lot of them, you know, worked outside and did some weed eating and stuff, worked on a golf course maybe once or twice. But a lot of guys who never dealt with the sports turf side of things, you know, the daily grind and doing the repetitive things like repairs, you know, and mowing, and then, you know, weed eating every day. And, you know, we're fortunate here at UK, we have like 65 acres of common areas. So, guy, you got to love that. So,
fortunate. Okay.
Definitely fortunate. We're definitely
I would have chosen a different word.
we are definitely lucky, but we enjoy it. You know, we love the challenge, and stuff like that. And I really don't have, I mean, it is, you know, we create a sheet every Monday. I go through it with the staff every Monday or Tuesday, depending on how busy we are on Monday morning. But we'll go through that sheet, and that way everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows what's going on. And then we'll kind of break down every morning at 7:30, we'll kind of go through who's going where. And then every day at lunch, right after lunch, we'll go who's going where. So we'll kind of split up people like that, and you can try to knock out all the lists as we can. So it's fun times.
You mentioned that, you know, you pay attention, you talk to other people or whatever. Like, how important is networking to you in this? Like, how any of these ideas did you get from other people or other groups of, I guess, colleges, universities, professionals that you saw online? That you're like, all right, I'm going to bring this back to, we're going to do it here. So,
not really say I haven't really pulled anything. I see people post pictures and they had like their own gear that had grounds on it, sports turf. And I think when my brother was here, they used to get Kentucky sports turf like hoodies that they used to get, a basic, you know, gray cotton Nike hoodie that said Kentucky sports turf. And I always thought that was really cool that they had, like, because you're sensing, you know, instead of just a regular Kentucky sweatshirt that every fan has, why don't we make something, you know, a little personal, a little bit more, like, let's build a team at, you know, a team atmosphere around here. And then kind of just, I lost my train of thought just now. Where were you saying?
I think, well, we could just go into, like, networking as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. As far as, like, you know, pulling ideas and that wealth of knowledge that's out there in the industry.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned earlier in the chat, like just being able to call on friends or the encyclopedias of the University of Kentucky that are there, just really being able to have that sharing nature.
Yeah. So we, give me a second. We basically, you know, I have friends throughout the industry, met a lot of them through Twitter, a lot of them through Facebook, a lot of that. I got a couple of close friends. I used to have a guy, Brown Backstrom, works at Baylor now. But me and him used to work here at UK together. We talk on the daily. I talk, like I said, I talk to Marcus Dean pretty much daily. And he used to be, you know, he used to be my boss. He knows a lot. For me, I always tell people I'm with the Dean School of Hard Knocks. And then Corey Smoot at Eastern Kentucky, which is 20 minutes down the road. We always like bouncing ideas off of each other. We're we basically were 20 minutes away. We deal with the same weather. Obviously, it's different levels, but he still, we take care of pretty much about the same amount of grass as each other. So it's always trying to bounce ideas off people. And then there's people throughout the country that I'll have questions about. I'll post something on Twitter. They'll be like, hey, like, I think you could do this, or, you know, or I'll see something they did and I'll ask them. I'll be like, hey, like, is this what you all did here? Or like, how did that work? And then how often you do this or stuff like that. And it's been nice for somebody who didn't really have a degree in this, going through and learning with people. It's been very helpful. The SEC group core guys, the head guys, and a few assistants, we all have a group chat, text message going on, and we'll ask questions throughout the thing. Like, hey, are you all seeing this? Or have you heard about this rule change or something like that? Or, hey, has anybody dealt with this certain product before, and how does that work? And we'll have a group chat, and, you know, it's pretty responsive. All those guys being there, you know, just a text message away, really helps out. So, I'm very fortunate for being able to be in those relationships and build them up. But, it's been awesome since I've taken over.
Nice. You talked a little bit about, you know, you spending your budget all the way up to 2027 on gear. You talked about being new in this role, right?
Yeah.
How have you figured out that sort of line of things, your budgeting side, your obviously you talk about planning. Where did you learn that from? You know, is that just something you picked up over the years, or is that something you've had to work hard to figure out?
I really kind of picked up on it. We had 2 months left in our budget when I took over. I got told, you know, like, let's pay all the bills. Let's see where we're at, you know, kind of hold tight. At UK, we kind of just give, we are just given our number. We don't really get to, like, last year I didn't get to fill out a budget. I was kind of just given a number and saying, hey, this is what you got to spend, or this is what you got to, you know, for salaries, equipment, all that stuff. So it kind of works. And then I kind of have a game plan. When I took over, I set outside of, you know, a 1 year, you know, plan, 3 year plan, a 5 year plan. And then I had big dreams, and that's, you know, in left field somewhere. But we had, the plans and budgets. I just took it from my day-to-day life. You know, I budgeted out, you know, as a student, I was budgeting out to make ends, you know, to eat and pay rent each month. And then now going through, my budget's obviously a lot bigger. So it's nice. It's nice to go through and be able to, you know, to game plan and forecast what I do. And I do it, I print off, we get budget reminders each month of where we're at. And I go through and I calculate what I think we're going to spend and then how much we got left. And then any of those projects I had on my, like, 3 year plan or 1 year plan, I go ahead and knock those out. Last year, we were able to redo our track infield, take off the native soil fescue that was out there. There was a lot of weeds, actually, to be honest, not really much fescue. And then we went and sprigged in some iron cutter, and then got it to grow in 31 days. So, and track, that's one of the things track coaches wanted. So kind of gave them, that as well, to give them a better playing surface. We're hosting 3 major tournaments over the next 3 years. So trying to improve that facility with just little things like that.
And what are you using to, like, track all this? Like you said, you get budget reminders. Like, is there, like, a tool that you're using in order to keep everything in one place, or how are you tracking all of that?
So what I do is I print off a piece of paper. We get it through Expensify, is where all my budget stuff goes through. And then our business office, they'll put it all, I guess, just the numbers go in it. And what I'll do is I'll print off the paper and then I'll just do it manually. Like, I won't do it on the computer. I'll just do it manually on that sheet of paper. And then I'll just keep those sheet of papers from month to month, and I'll see where we've adjusted, where we have been, where we got to go, and how much money I got to keep back and how much money I got to save and stuff like that. And then I got to count for the overtime with my students. I mean, obviously, as saying, our student budget got kind of cut during COVID. So trying to, you know, make sure we are covered for that as well.
How has been the response to you getting the job, for you having, like, a seat at the table, like, when decisions need made? You have a big event coming up. You have 3 tournaments coming up, or 3 big events coming up, and you need to improve something. Have they been responsive to you? How have you put yourself at the table and been listened to, I guess?
Yeah, we just had 2 big projects happen. We replaced our indoor football facility turf, and we just replaced our synthetic turf at our outdoor stadium at Kroger Field. So, you know, kind of going through that process, with all those people, you know, trying to put your, like I said, being prepared, help, you know, with that and trying to know. To be honest, then I didn't know much about synthetic turf. Now I feel like I know everything after sitting through all those meetings and doing some, you know, some research and seeing the products out there at other places. But kind of just, you know, see the table. Yeah. I mean, I've kind of put things straightforward with, you know, with my boss and just kind of be like, hey, these are things I think we need to improve on. If we can get it done, I'd like to, but, you know, trying to take one thing at a time. We've redone a lot of landscaping. We're starting to do the process of redoing landscaping around some athletic facilities. So trying to, you know, we're going to do this little piece now. We're going to wait till this to next year and just trying to do a little bit at a time through that. And then as well as, you know, taking over a job and kind of, you know, doing a good job. I think that, you know, you doing a good job builds trust with your administration, and your administration will trust you that whenever you ask for something, then, you know, then they'll believe that, hey, this is what you got to do. Or hey, let's look at this now, you know, since he's saying this and stuff like that. And I think that's helped a lot. So.
Weston, are you ready for the weather report? Or do you have any more questions?
I didn't even remember the weather report, Meg, until you just said it. So I would say I'm going to let you roll with most of this one here.
Sounds good. Marcus, the weather report is how we like to end things. And it's really just a segment for us to, you know, talk about what in the industry has us excited, whether it's been something you've seen on social media or in your personal life. I'll bring up my weather report. I got an exciting text message from my friend's son last night, and it was this photo. Let's see. And this is my favorite time of year in the industry, when we're all at conferences. Every other week we're, you know, meeting up for vendor fairs or what have you. And you'll either see it on Twitter or you'll be getting text messages at night like, hey, look who I ran into. And you see that turf family tree. There's a million connections. Even how you guys started off our conversation. You never met in person before, but you quickly found your connection, like Chase Straw and then your brother's best friend. And they both work for Weston at some point. It's like, it's a 2-minute conversation until you can find, you know, where your turf connection is in this industry. So that's what has me excited. The forecast of all of us just, you know, being at shows in the next couple of months and, you know, being able to reconnect and hang out with each other. So do you have anything out there, Marcus, that has you excited?
The baby dust is due in April. So that's, there's exciting. I am excited. Can't wait to be a dad. So it should be a fun time. I am a dog dad, but he's, you know, he's four legs and hairy and wants to play 24/7, which I'm sure the kids are the same way.
Yeah, so, this will be a bit different.
Oh, no, it definitely will be. No, I'm excited. I honestly get excited seeing people, what their products and what they're doing across the country. I love seeing the pictures on Twitter. I love people seeing, you know, all that fun stuff.
Hold on. I got to show you guys. The soup was just delivered.
Yes. Awesome.
And there's well deserved.
He opened the door and I was like, oh, geez. <That's funny. laughs> A powerful text message. I must be the scariest person in the world, really. Please get me some soup. It's delivered.
That's big.
But how do you think your crew will handle, you know, are you going to take like a leave at all, or how do you think they'll handle being able to help you through that transition period?
We are set up actually right now for pretty good success. There's a few things I like to change, but my full-time staff's great. They take care of their facilities. They're doing everything they need to do day to day. I'm just here to help wherever they need help at. Sometimes they might think I'm overstepping boundaries, but I'm just trying to, like, I want to do it. Like, I love being hands-on. I like being out there. Honestly, this is probably the longest I've spent in my office in probably like 3 months. So, so it's kind of weird. Not gonna lie, just sit here. I'm getting like antsy right now, but no, I absolutely, you know, I love going out doing stuff, seeing things, and then trying to improve things. But my staff will be great. They're fine. I have no worries. We have a plan in place. Like I said, if you plan, it's pretty easy.
Simple. Does that plan include more shirts? Just a new delivery of shirts right before?
Probably so. We just got these sweatshirts here. I'll grab one of these. We just got these sweatshirts. My kids really liked them, but, we got Kentucky. It's a little backwards, sports turf. That's actually what I'm wearing right now, but they wanted something different. We got black ones last year, sweatshirts that had a UK on it. So we wanted to go somewhat different. People love the curse of here in Kentucky. Baseball team wears their baseball jerseys and people freak out about it. So we kind of wanted to follow suit with that. Put a little sports turf wording on there, but it's just kind of, my staff is, like I said, my staff's great. My students are great. I'm interested in, bringing those six students or four students, because I think a few of them are leaving this year. So I don't know if they're too late to be in the turf game, but they might go a different direction in life with what their degree is. But a few, I'm excited. I got one student's going to be graduating this December, I believe. And I'm excited where he goes, because he's really, really good. Great kid, hard worker. Proactive and all that stuff that,
drop his name.
Steven, I'm gonna mess up his last name. So I'm
just gonna is it K-I-N-K-L-E, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Steven posts all the time. He's big into it. Steven's a great kid. Anybody needs somebody to work for him, Steven should be your guy.
Look at that.
trust me, he goes above and beyond anything that I've ever seen as a student. Especially in today's age and, him, but he's good. He's very good. He takes pride in it. Actually, this semester, he's here all day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I've kind of let him take over softball during those days and let him just get his own imprint on what he wants to do each day. And it's almost watching him grow into who he is today from when I first seen him as a student back in 2020 or 2021 is night and day. It's really awesome to see and watch him be who he is now and how much he wants to learn and all that stuff. So, and like I said, I got a few more students that hopefully will mold into that direction. It just, them being interested now, and I'm going to try to bring them to SFMA and let them kind of see if they want to get a taste of it. But, from starting from two students to now having 12 and having about half of those be interested in turf, I think it's a big step. And UK don't have a turf program. I've asked the College of Ag if they want to start one. They said no. So we're still fighting that battle, but we're going to go on.
Baby steps, baby steps. Yeah,
that's what I said. It's one step at a time. We are pushing. So
I have one last question before we let you go. Maybe Meg has one too. Sorry. But if this co-hosting gig of the Pioneer podcast doesn't work for me, can I come work for you? Because everything you're saying sounds awesome. I'm like ready to get back into the groundskeeping world working for you, man.
No, so that's for sure.
Part-time student role, though. I know how to use a weed eater.
Well, you'd be better than me. At that time. Come on. The door, the policy here is doors always open. So anytime anybody wants to stop by, I don't care. I love showing people what we have. We don't have grass in our stadium, which is kind of a disappointment, but we enjoy it. I mean, it's still, people think it's like turf maintenance free. I can tell you right now, after the last 6 months, it's definitely not maintenance free. definitely put a lot of hours in trying to figure things out, but we are getting to a point where we're good. But it's been a fun. It's been a fun time to being in charge and, kind of like doing the whole boss thing and being in charge. I've always hired students since like 2016. Marcus Hugg gave me and another guy named Jerry Edmonds that responsibility, or we asked for it just because we were younger. We thought it could be a good step for us to take. So I've always enjoyed hiring students and bringing in kids from different backgrounds and then making them kind of mold together into a team atmosphere. So.
Very cool. Well, yeah, Weston's just after the sweatshirt, I think.
Hey, I think there's one here. I got a size for it.
You're in that neck of the woods, right?
Yeah.
Well, Marcus, thank you. This has been a pleasure. It was definitely great to talk to you, and what you have going on there does sound exciting. And I'm excited to see, who else comes out of the program. It's definitely going to be impactful. And about, I think probably like 2 minutes into this Chat, I decided that this is going to be an audio only episode after I saw my face. And I was like, oh my God, my nose is the size. and then Weston talking to the, we caught him at one point saying like, no, I'm fine. I was like, yeah, this will be audio only, I think.
Oh, there's probably, that's great for me. Trust me, I love that. So
that's great.
Well, any, final thoughts, Weston, or are we ready to turn them loose?
I'm good. I love the whole, like, the staff, like, having fun with them or whatever. I was always a Dunkin' Donut and Dairy Queen guy.
Okay.
And so if it was hot out, I was the guy that was hopping in the pickup truck, going around picking everybody up. I was like, we're going to Dairy Queen. Let's go.
Yeah, no, that's fun. No, I actually took my students. We tried to do something with them once a semester. We went to a Reds game last spring. And then we went, you know, bowling one night, or went to play laser tag or something every once in a while. We haven't done nothing this semester. I don't know if they have a plan, but I've taken them, you know, I take them out to eat sometimes. And, you know, on the weekends, just to say thank you, even my staff. But we're kind of, you know, the grind is real. You know, football ends in December and softball starts January 3rd. So it's it's fun times.
Keep it loose. That's awesome.
No, you do.
I would joke at the end of my career, I was basically Michael Scott. That's what I thought. I was just walking around suggesting ways of not doing work and just getting, like, having fun or whatever. And letting all those guys do all the work. And I was just the guy walking around. Hey, let's get the hell out of here and go get beers or whatever at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, yeah, it's fun.
It is. That's awesome. That's a fun time. It's fun times. You have to enjoy it. I'm going to tell you one last thing. If you don't enjoy it, it's not going to be very fun. I can tell you that. So I tell my students that all day. I was like, you're not making enough money for, you know, you can go work at, you know, McDonald's or somewhere to make more money. But, you know, this job is supposed to be fun. We're going to work hard, but there's going to be times where it's going to be a lot relaxed and you're going to have fun with it. So it's fun. It's a fun thing to be here. And then, you know, to watch these kids grow and turn out to see who they be. So